Okay, we're just getting a little bit of an echo up here. All right, I've been looking forward to this day for quite a long time. In fact, I have so much that I want to share with you that it's going to take two Sundays. So we will be also doing a prophecy update next week as well, which I'm super excited about. And then we will have a teaching on fasting, which I want to encourage the whole church to be fasting leading up to the tent meeting. So today's message is entitled ESGs, Climate Change, and the New World Order. I know, it's a lot. I was quite the student. I felt like I was back in school this week. Just learning so much about things I've never really took time to ask. Like, what does that mean? So there's been a lot going on over this past year, and we've briefly talked about some things as they happen. You know, I'll mention it and kind of explain it in its role and how its purpose in Bible prophecy. Many things are pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ, so get a whoop whoop for that. A few weeks ago, I taught about the doctrine of imminency. And if that is on our message archive, I encourage you, if you're wondering, like, why it is that anyone would ever believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, like, so many people suffer. Shouldn't we also go through it? Listen to that message about the doctrine of imminency and how it relates to the rapture of the church. Basically, this doctrine advocates that the return of Jesus for his church could happen at any moment. Could happen at any second. Now. No, it could happen at any time. The rapture's timing is not determined by any particular event that needs to happen. It's on its own timeline. In fact, Jesus himself said in Matthew 25:13, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And the whole New Testament church, they were encouraged to be looking for Christ's coming at any second. But we know that Christ, his second return is going to be after the tribulation. So there's a lot that needs to go on before his second return. So the rapture is outside of the doctrine of Christ's second return, where he comes back to earth and plants his feet. So today, that's not what I want to talk about today. Today I want to talk about something other than the rapture. Yet the rapture is still connected to it. I want to discuss what has been happening recently that points to the great tribulation beginning very, very soon. It is the formation of the one world government, and it is right around the corner. This is significant because the ruler of the one world government will be the Antichrist, the lawless one. For those of you who may be new to Bible prophecy, the Great Tribulation is the final 7 years of human history, as first prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, where the Antichrist's forces will wage war against God, Israel, and all the new believers, the people that become believers after the rapture. It will be a time of great devastation and human suffering unparalleled in the history of the world. During the Great Tribulation, as I mentioned already, there will be a one world order which will control every aspect of human lives. It will force the compliance with its laws without mercy and demand absolute obedience to the one world leader known as the Antichrist. And this government is being formed right now, this very morning. And it is beginning to flex its muscles, which will only strengthen in the months and the years to come. I want us this morning to read chapter 13 as a whole, and then we'll come back, and I will be camped out in verses 15 through 17 today. So I'll give you just a second to turn over there in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 13. Beginning in verse 1, "Then I, John, stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast," talking about the Antichrist here, "now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power. The dragon is Satan. His throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. So when we talk about the Antichrist, we're talking about his position in the global government, the one world order. So when it's talking about the multiple heads and things like that, they're talking about other nations and people groups that he is in control of. He is the head of this beast. Where were we? The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Lord, we pray for your anointing. Help me to rightly divide the word of God. Father, we ask that you would speak to us and that you would prepare us, God, for the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. So look back on verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one, now you might want to underline this is where we're really going to camp at today, and no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So for anyone to be able to cause everyone in the world to take a mark, or else they can't buy or sell, that person or group must be in complete control of all the world's economies, and that includes America's. In other words, America must be taken down. Our economy must be taken down. And this is precisely what we're witnessing right now. And by the way, it started long before Trump, but has picked up steam over the last 2 years. America cannot be allowed to have strong leadership that would promote nationalism. Instead, we must have a patsy who is willing to sell out America for 30 pieces of silver. And who will do exactly what they are told to do. So as I said, this is an update. I want to share with you some things that are taking us to the edge of the New World Order. On March 9th, 2022, U.S. President Joe Biden signed an executive order that actively calls for policy on Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, as well as urgent action towards developing a CBDC that is a central bank digital currency. I'm reading you an article of this. The order outlines a whole government approach where a significant number of regulatory agencies are called to collaborate in the research and development of digital assets and related regulations. My administration, Biden said, places the highest urgency on research and development efforts into the potential design and deployment options of a United States CBDC. The order states. Now, this little bit of news flew under the radar of most people. In addition to regulating cryptocurrency, that means digital dollars, Biden issued an urgent order setting up a committee to figure out how to create and implement a national digital currency that everyone in the United States would be forced to use as their primary form of buying and selling. We can't get away from it. A digital currency, by the way, do you know what a digital currency is? A digital currency is basically, it is your assets, your money and stuff that has been converted into numbers. And each of us will have a unique number identifying our bank account, identifying who we are, and identifying how much essentially we have in the cloud, in the bank in the cloud, basically. And The cryptocurrencies, this digital dollar, we will not be able to hold it in our hand. Everything will be online. You will have to access it, and we will probably have our cell phones will be able to access, obviously, our digital dollars. So how it works is your current dollars would be transferred into digital dollars, hopefully dollar for dollar, but not necessarily. There is talk about our money as it's transferred to digital dollars being spread out towards social causes to help those who are considered in the oppressed groups around the world. So it would be a way of distributing wealth. So that's just the talk, but we hope that it's dollar for dollar. Everything would be digitized. There are some positives to this, but mostly it will be used as a form of control where the government can stop someone from buying or selling anything if they have been deemed a domestic terrorist, such as a parent who speaks out against a school district's woke curriculum. You're a domestic terrorist. Or a church that will not capitulate to the lockdowns or teaches the entire counsel of God, you will be considered a group of domestic terrorists. Or really anyone who has been considered to be a threat to the global well-being of everybody around the world because their ESG score is too low. What is an ESG score? I'm glad you asked. Before I explain, I want to talk about the WEF for just a second. We got a Mike, I think it's the WEF. There you go. The WEF is the World Economic Forum and is likely the organization that will usher in the one world order as it unifies the world under the global cause of climate control. I believe that this organization will present the world to the Antichrist, and I'll talk more about this next week. So developed by the World Economic Forum, an ESG score reflects how well a company or a person contributes to the global greater good concerning social equality and environmental impact. Now, I don't have time today to go into all the things that make up for a good ESG score, but chief among the items are environmental. This is the E. This is how well you minimized your carbon dioxide emissions. Think of climate change. The S is social. How much have you diversified your workforce? Do you have a lot of LGBT plus, 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 minus times people on your, in your workforce? Do you have BLM and other oppressed groups on your employment roster? That's the social score. The third is governmental transparency. This is the G. Company transparency and who is leading. In other words, does the president or CEO of your company have a good ESG score? Are they honest people? Can we see all the books of a company? Now that, you might think that's a good thing, so they're not doing things in the shadow. Well, it's, anyway, that's what it's, that's, I'll comment more on that next week. So that is the governmental transparency. An ESG score of 100 means that you're hitting on all cylinders. Man, you're a WEF poster child. Companies with bad ESG scores are those who are not going along with the whole global program. They will not receive investing capital from the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank, and will not have workers who even want to work for them, because they will be stigmatized as a company who has a poor ESG score. They're just not part going with the program. They will be publicly shunned and boycotted because they are not globally minded. Eventually, if we are still here, you and I will have personal ESG scores. Though they might be called something else, it will be a score grading us on how well we submit to the prevailing narratives of the time. For instance, if you call someone a woman or a man when they identify as neither, you may have your social score impacted downward. If you fill up your truck with over 20 gallons of gas, if you're still using a gas-ran vehicle, you will have your ESG score lowered. Or maybe you are objecting to the killing of babies in the womb. You will have your ESG score lowered. China uses a similar system right now with millions of cameras and spies to monitor everyone's buying, viewing, and social interaction habits. Do we have that picture, Mike, of the cameras? There we go. These are everywhere, back alleys, you know, probably not in the restrooms, but they might, you know, they're everywhere. If someone speaks negatively of the CCP, that's the Communist Chinese Party, or visits websites not approved by the CCP, they will be given a low social credit score, preventing them from buying or selling anything. And it's coming here sooner than we would like to think. Eventually, the system of cameras and constant monitoring, and social scoring system will be used by the Antichrist to control the whole world. We're getting a glimpse of how he's going to do it, and it's being set up right now. As I mentioned, the goal of nations and companies is to get a 100 ESG score. If so, you will be the WEF's poster child. The primary way of getting this score is by eliminating fossil fuels. However, several countries have already attempted this over the last 5 to 10 years, and they have seen their economy implode. I got a little video for you here. This is Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka's president and ruling body said, you know what? We are going to do exactly what the WEF tells us to do. And when we do this, we are going to become a wealthy nation. They promised us it'll happen. So the president makes this statement, the prime minister, this is how I'm going to make my country rich by 2025. Sri Lanka was doing very well before these things. Now here's the new economic trouble for a little while, but their people weren't starving to death. They had fuel. They had resources to, I don't know of any economy around the world that is just hitting, is thriving. Yet when they said, hey, we're going to go full WEF, we're going to shoot for the highest score possible, We're going to quit selling fossil fuels. And of course, that led to starvation. It led to people dying, suffering, all kinds of things going on in a country that could support themselves. So this is what was produced by following the EF's suggestions. Let's see where I'm at. So we're seeing this push for a high ESG score right now in the Netherlands. If you've been wondering why the farmers are all upset right now, and we are seeing it in Canada, just announced recently, among other countries, as they also move to restrict carbon emissions from machinery, livestock, and fertilizers. These policies will likely produce starvation in those countries as it did and is doing in Sri Lanka. Once America pushes hard towards that goal, we will also likely experience some very dire economic times, as described in the Bible, when a loaf of bread was equal to a day's wages. As of today, America is about 53% compliant with their ESG goals. Biden's new Inflation Adjustment Act was signed to get us to at least 83% by 2030. To get that high of a score so quickly, America must ditch fossil fuels. The farmers will feel it first, then the rest of us. Do you know why fossil fuels are so bad? Do you know what carbon emissions are? Do you know why the whole world is making a big fuss about climate change? Let me enlighten those who may not be familiar with these things, as I was enlightened this week. Carbon, in its most basic form, is an abundant element in our world. In fact, it's the most common element for life on Earth. From the air we breathe to the crops we grow and the chemical makeup of our own bodies, carbon is literally the basis for life. When we talk about carbon emissions, we are focusing specifically on carbon dioxide, or commonly called CO2. It's a gas that is released when carbon molecules are burned. So let me ask you this morning, how many of us have been emitting gas and didn't even realize it? All of us. It's called our carbon footprint. In order to understand our carbon footprint, it is essential to understand greenhouse gases. And I'm going somewhere with all this. You guys doing okay? You need to stand up and shake for just a second? Get the wiggles out? All right. Greenhouse gases are responsible for keeping our planet warm. You can see up here in the diagram. So you have the sun, and the sun's heat and warmth come down to the Earth's surface. You can see the atmosphere is the light gray area over here. So as the heat and warmth come in here, some of it escapes. And some of the sun's radiation escapes back out of the atmosphere. However, we need the sun's warmth for things to grow. So under the atmosphere are called the greenhouse gases, and it keeps the sun's warmth in here. But there's a problem. Before we talk about the problem, the GHGs are responsible for keeping our planet warm. Without them, the Earth would be uninhabitable. Water vapor, methane from natural gas, nitrous oxide from soils and oceans, ozone and carbon dioxide are its main constituents. That's what's made up in the greenhouse gases. The greenhouse gases protect us from lots of things, and they regulate the internal heat of the planet. But it is believed a significant increase in greenhouse gases also represents a risk. And there are two primary offenders to the increased greenhouse effect. Now, I just want you to know this morning, I'm not advocating for climate change, nor am I speaking against it. I'm just presenting you some information that is going to show you why these things are important to the New World Order. In fact, will be a rallying point. So let me talk about the two main polluters for greenhouse gases. The largest source of carbon emissions is the burning of fossil fuels, contributing to almost 90% of all carbon emissions. This includes coal, natural gas, and oil are the most commonly used fossil fuels, out of which coal allegedly produces the most carbon emissions as byproducts of its burning when you burn the coal. Electricity, how many of you knew that electricity was made from coal? Yeah, quite a few of you, but that's why we see all the windmills around and the solar panels, because they're trying to move away from coal. They're trying to produce electricity in other ways that is not coal. But right now, coal is the primary way of producing electricity. And because electricity is a necessity in every household and industry, from charging our mobile phones to watching TV, to manufacturing clothes and even food production, it produces a large, heavy carbon footprint. And when we use any of these things I just mentioned, how many of you use your phone today, this morning? A lot of us looked at it, right? How many of us turned on the light, used the hairdryer, the curler? You emitted carbon emissions. Do you know that? Yeah, shame on you. Shame on you for doing that. No, I'd say that jokingly. No shame. No shame from here. When we use any of these things I just mentioned, we cause carbon dioxide emission, which becomes a greenhouse gas waiting to be recycled or sequestered into usable carbon again. Our carbon footprint is how much carbon dioxide each of us produces in about a year. So you've heard the term in the news. Hey, what's your carbon footprint? That's going to become a very big deal in the coming years, because it's going to be like a way of polarizing somebody. If, like, you know, you're a carbon polluter. How dare you? Your footprint is Bigfoot. You know, ours is a little canary. And so it's going to be a big deal. The next biggest type of pollution, besides the fossil fuels, is methane. Methane polluters. You know what these are? You know what the biggest methane contributors are besides landfills? Cows, chickens, pigs. They produce methane. You wonder why people care if I'm a vegetarian or not? Because until we go all vegetarian, and we eat meat, somebody's got to supply the meat, and as long as they're supplying the meat, methane gas is contributing to the greenhouse effect. That's why they want us to eat soy products and plastic. So how do we keep from dying out with all of these terrible things in the atmosphere? Well, there's something called recycling or sinking. They're called sinks or soaking up. Our forests, seas, oceans and rivers, while producing carbon, also soak up carbon emissions. And that's how we stay in balance. That's how God made it. The oceans, rivers, and forests are the most significant sinks for reducing carbon emissions. But the oceans and forests cannot recycle emitted carbon fast enough. We humans allegedly pump too many burned carbons into the atmosphere. Thus, the sheer volume of the emitted carbons collecting in the atmosphere cause our planet to get hotter and hotter. Are you tracking this morning? Are you seeing the connection? The scientists that argue this say that just a 2-degree warmer increase in our atmosphere will make the difference, will make it very difficult for humans to sustain life at all on Earth. Thus, the effort should be made to keep the Earth from heating more than 1.5 degrees. Of course, in the 70s, the narrative was that the Earth was getting colder. And we had to do something fast, or we'd be skiing down glaciers in Florida. But things didn't pan out so well as areas warmed up. Then the scientists, bankrolled by the foundations like the Gates, the Clintons, George Soros, and other WEF partners, said that it was global, don't forget Al Gore, said it was global warming. But the real life statistics could not quite support that narrative either. So now it's just climate change. Who can argue with that? We're going to have climate change tomorrow when it warms up a couple degrees. A writer for Yahoo wrote this regarding the urgency needed to fight climate change. I'm almost done here. When a pipe breaks in the bathroom, do I spend a lot of time figuring out if I can afford to pay for the repair? The longer I wait, the more damage there is to floors, cupboards, closet doors, for starters. Can't argue with that. Our global climate pipes have been broken for a long, long time. We spent decades deciding if the damage is bad enough to bother repairing the pipes. The damage to the planet has increased all those years. Our seas are rising. Wildfires are spreading like wildfires. Heat records are breaking and droughts are destroying crops. The U.S. has spent over $50 billion on flood disasters. The NPR, we know we can all trust the NPR, right? If they say it, it's absolutely true. Reported, the Kentucky floods destroyed homes and killed dozens in a matter of days, providing absolute proof of global warming, climate change. Recently, Congress took action to call a plumber. Well, it's about time. At this point, scientists don't know how much the plumber can save us. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change called for a 50% reduction in fossil fuel use by 2030. 50%. But that goal will unlikely be met. There's just too much. The Inflation Reduction Act that Biden signed into law just last week, recently signed into law by President Joe Biden, instead aims to reduce fossil fuel by only 40% by 2030 and not the 50% recommended. Man, thanks, Joe, saving us 10%. Man. Another article recently stated that the fossil fuel industry is solely to blame for increased carbon in the atmosphere. However, beyond merely blaming, scientists presented data proving that fossil fuel is indeed culpable for the increase in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. I'm telling you, if you're using fossil fuel, you're the devil. You're the devil. And the gas stations is where the devil lives. If we don't bring fossil fuel use to a halt, they suggest, the problems caused by increased atmospheric carbon dioxide is going to continue. Heat, drought, floods, wildfires, and hurricanes will not be slowed until the industry stops emitting carbon dioxide. Even then, ridding our air of excess emissions, well, it's going to require time. It's going to take us a lot of time. But we don't have a lot of time, so we have a problem, don't we? There's something called carbon dioxide removal. This is something they've been promoting and businesses have been building. Now, do know that there are many companies building carbon removal machinery that will somehow act as a sink, kind of like the ocean and rivers and trees, and suck carbon emissions back and recycle them, like huge vacuum cleaners on top of their buildings. Will act as a sink and recycle them or burn them before they're ever even released into the atmosphere. Companies that can demonstrate that they can actually do this get a massive boost in their ESG score. So they're really working hard at it. They want to be, hey, our ESG score is 95%. We are recycling carbons. We're emitting carbons. And I don't have time to talk about carbon credits because those factor into all this as well. But the current consensus is that if we deploy these and other so-called carbon dioxide removal techniques at the same time as everybody pitching in and reducing our burning of fossil fuels, that we can more rapidly halt global warming. Hopefully, around the middle of this century, we will achieve net zero. This is the point at which residual emissions of greenhouse gases are balanced by technologies removing them from the atmosphere. So people, as we emit carbon emissions, hopefully they are fewer than we're currently doing now. And as they are being recycled, everything will work as God intended it to work. But let me ask you this morning. What if the world can't get emissions down fast enough? And there are predictions of earthquakes and fires and floods and all those things, and the bumblebee dying and the fish in California, you know, washing up on somebody's yard. Like, what happens if we can't get the global temperature down fast enough? How do they intend to solve the problem? How about kill people? How about taking our population down from 8 billion to 2 billion? That would certainly solve the problem, wouldn't it? Well, how would they do that and not look like murderers? You can't just show up at people's door. We're here to take you down, man. You're a global ESG fouler or whatever they're going to use. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe a global pandemic? Oh, we just had one, didn't we? Whole bunch of people died, didn't they? So why do I talk about this at church on a Sunday morning? Because the climate change agenda is the impetus for global unity. It's the rallying point that we are rallying around. It's also the impetus for a digital currency system needed to punish companies and people who do not go along with the program. And this type of system will be used by the Antichrist Mark of the Beast rollout in the future. We are likely to see a one-world digital currency very shortly. As I mentioned, America is already working on a national one. The one-world digital currency will gobble up ours as we meld into a single-world economy. And fear will be the driving force to get people to comply. The fear of being ridiculed. The fear of having your ESG scored lowered. The fear of having them press a button and suddenly you can't buy or sell anything. That'll scare a lot of people. A test run on how much fear is required to get people to do something they don't agree with was demonstrated with the release of the COVID-19 and the accompanying vaccines over 2 years ago. The global elites know now how to get people to comply with anything. Just scare them. Lie. Get opposing voices silenced. And shame anyone who disagrees or tries to use any amount of logic. In other words, just shut up and do what you're told. We know what's best. And if you don't, we're going to lower your ESG score and we're going to put your address in the newspaper and tell everybody where you live. But as a Christian, always remember that satanic forces are behind everything we see. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You see, people aren't smart enough to come up with the things we've experienced recently on their own. Satan knows that getting a house divided against itself will cause its demise, and that's exactly where we're heading, towards a civil war. I believe that the 84,000 IRS agents that are currently being hired by the IRS via the Inflation Reduction Act, yeah, they're going to reduce inflation, right? Right out of our pockets, will be used to force every American's compliance with the global climate agenda, as well as go after churches and all those supporting moral decency and Judeo-Christian values. But there is good news. You guys ready for some good news this morning? I save 15% of my auto insurance. No, I'm just kidding. Jesus is coming back sooner than anyone realizes. Dates to watch are next September 25th and 26th. I'm not talking about 2023. I'm talking about next month. As the year of Jubilee, the beginning of the Shemitah, which is the seven-year cycle of blessing or cursing, and the Feast of Trumpets, referred to in the Bible as the day that no man knows the day or hour, all occur on the same 2 days. That's amazing. That's amazing. In 7 days begins the Jewish 40 days of repentance, leading up to Yom Kippur, which is the high holy day in Israel, the Day of Atonement. Now, as Gentile believers, we do not have to follow Jewish customs. But I do think it's significant that the time of repentance, these 40 days of repentance, these have been going on thousands of years, a long time. That it goes right up through the Feast of Trumpets. When I and many other people believe that Jesus is going to return for his church. Is that next month? I don't know. I would not dare set a date. But I'm just saying there are a lot of things happening that make you go, that's interesting. Could that be the day that Jesus is coming back? During these 40 days, I want to encourage you, man. If you're messing around with things you shouldn't be messing around with, you need to let go. You need to get on your knees. Say, God, I'm sorry. I have made a mess of things. I'm continuing to trust in my own ways. And I need to surrender everything to you. And that includes all the darkest closets of my heart. We need to repent before the Lord. Because he is coming. He doesn't have to come on Feast of Trumpets. He could come this afternoon before you swallow your sandwich. He could come. Repent. That is the word of the Lord to us this morning. And always repent. And I tell you, as we repent, God shows up in amazing ways. So next week, I'm going to talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Because we are seeing evidence of all those four fellows starting to... I can hear the horses now. They're restless in the stall. They're about to be released on the earth. I'm going to talk about the WEF just a little bit. The Antichrist, I'll touch on the rapture, of course. And then I'm going to encourage us to be looking for Jesus Christ because he is about to come back, y'all. He's about to come back and we need to be ready. Amen? Let's stand and pray.